and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Book of Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. It says this. It says, as Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into their home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what Jesus taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Sounds like a fight that would happen in my home sometimes. Says, tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. I'll read to you one more passage of scripture. Proverbs 3 verse 6. It says this, in everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you, and he will crown your efforts with success. I love that. The Bible says, in everything you do, if you would put God first, then God would make sure that he crowns every single thing that you do with a God success. I love that scripture and that promise. I want to speak to you tonight in the time that we have on this topic, on this subject, the priority of his presence. The priority of his presence. I want to talk about our priorities, about putting God first in our life. And what does that mean? In Proverbs here, it says, in everything that you do, in everything that you do. In other words, whether you're at work, at school, at uni, whether you're in your relationships, in your finances, in your time, with your gifts. It's the Bible says, if you would put God first in all that you do, God says, I will come and I will direct you and I will crown your efforts with success. Here's what I've discovered in life. There is a difference between seeking success and seeking God. There's a big difference. There's a gulf of difference, even though it's only one word, between seeking success and seeking God. In other words, there's a difference between striving for success and trying to do things in our own efforts and in our own ability, between seeking success versus seeking God, where we say, God, my highest priority, the thing that sits on top of my list, God, is to prioritize you. And God, as I make you first in my life, God, I trust that, God, you're going to crown my life with your blessing and your success. You see, here's what I've discovered. God's success actually flows out of getting our priorities right. Did you know that? The success that God wants to bring in your life will directly be in proportion to us setting our priorities right. In other words, where we set God as our first priority, God says that I will come and I will crown your life with success. I'll bless you. You know, I love the story in the Bible of Mary and Martha. If you've been in church for a little while, I could pretty much guarantee you've heard the story of Mary and Martha. And the story of Mary and Martha, I find it a pretty fascinating story. But many times that I've heard the story of Mary and Martha either preached or spoken about, it's been about the two different people or the two different types of personalities. Are you a Mary personality or are you a Martha personality? Am I more of a Martha who works, or am I more of a Mary type who waits? But I'm looking at that story, and I actually don't believe that this story is in the Bible for us to dissect two different personality types. I don't think this primarily is a story about two different types of personalities and how they outwork in the family chore situation around dinner. I think this story is much deeper. I don't believe this story is actually about two types of personality. I think this is a story about two types of me. The two sides of me. You see, I can be both Mary and Martha. And listen, that's not because I have some identity issues going on, people, okay? But I can be on one day. I know how quickly I can flip between these two. Sometimes I'm a lot like Mary. I've spent time in the presence of God. My heart is at peace. My mind is clear. I'm sensing and feeling the voice of God directing my life, and things feel like they're in a flow. Some days, sometimes I feel like Mary. But can I tell you, sometimes I feel a lot like Martha as well. I'm distracted. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of things that can cause anxiety or cause me to be worried or cause me in my mind to be agitated about this thing and about that thing. The Bible says that Mary was here and Mary was agitated. She was worried. The Bible says that Martha was distracted and worried, but she was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She was distracted by this big feast that she was preparing. The word distracted here meant Martha was being drawn away. That's what the word distracted means. She was being drawn away. And I actually believe that even though this story occurred over 2,000 years ago, this story is so relevant for the age in which we live. We live in an age of distraction. We live in an age of 1,000 distractions coming at us every single day. I cannot possibly fathom, and nor could you, how many different beeps and signals that flash my way and alerts that come and all kinds of things. 1,000 different distractions coming from 1,000 different ways. In fact, well, actually, probably most of those distractions happen in a little rectangular device that sits in my hand sometimes. And it lures me this way and it lures me that way. It beeps and it flashes, and there's things all around me all the time that are trying to distract me, that are trying to draw me away. In fact, I was just driving through a petrol station the other day and I couldn't believe it. My phone began to flash and there was a notice on Facebook asking me if I was at this particular petrol station and would I like to review it. I was like, are you kidding me? I hadn't posted anything there. It was just telling me, would I like to review the petrol station? I'm like, oh, my goodness. I was so ticked off. I was like, there's just so many opportunities around our life that are in a world that's filled with distraction. The Bible says here that Martha, she was distracted by two things. She got distracted by the work that she had to do. And she also got distracted by this relationship in her life with her sister. And so she did what we would probably do in this situation. She got ticked off at her sister and she got ticked off at God. And then so we see it. And so she goes and she just has a blurt moment with Jesus. And she says, I'm not liking this, because what about my sister here? I'm preparing all these things. I'm doing all this stuff. But my sister Mary, how come she's not helping me? And then she begins to say to Jesus, come on, just tell my sister to come and start helping with this great dinner I'm preparing. But I love the response of Jesus. I love the response to Jesus, because Jesus always is the perfect mix when he begins to speak to us of two things, of truth and grace. Truth and grace. And that's exactly what he does in his response, straight back to Martha here. She's come back to Martha and says, Martha, let me talk to you. This is what he says. He says, my dear Martha, my dear Martha. I love that. He says, my dear Martha, you are worried. You are upset over all of these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary, your sister, right here, she's discovered it, and what she's discovered will not be taken away from her. In other words, Jesus was saying, he's saying, my dear Martha, he's saying, Martha, you're so dear to me. I love you, Martha. You're incredible, but I've got to tell you something. You found yourself in this place in life where you're so worried and you're so distracted by all these things that are going. You're agitated in your mind. You're agitated in your heart. You're anxious about all these things. But Jesus says all of these things are just mere details. All of these things are actually trivia. He says, but Martha, you need to understand this. Your sister Mary, she may not be helping you with the dinner right now. But one thing Mary has got right is her priorities. Mary has discovered something, and that's the priority of being in my presence. She's prioritized spending time in my presence. And because she's prioritized spending time in my presence, she's not affected like you are affected by all of these cares and concerns around her life. Can I tell you, church, tonight, Jesus wasn't commending Mary for not doing the chores around the house. Jesus actually didn't really care so much about the big dinner. I'm fairly confident Jesus would have been perfectly happy with Uber Eats that night. He would have been perfectly fine with them ordering fish and chips that night and not having Martha worried about preparing the big dinner. Jesus was commending Mary in this story because she made it her first priority to spend time in the presence of God. Mary had discovered in her life the one thing that would set her life apart. The one thing that the world could never take from us, and that was the presence of God. You see, Mary prioritized the presence of God in her life. In other words, Mary had made this decision, no matter what's going on, no matter how busy things are getting, no matter how full on things might be around me, I'm going to place a priority on spending time in the presence of God. Maybe you're here tonight, and I know I've been in that place many times. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel a little bit like Martha. Maybe you feel like some of the problems that you're experiencing, some of the problems that you're encountering in life, maybe you feel like some of those things are overwhelming you. Can I tell you tonight, the greatest decision you'll ever make is to bring your problems into the presence of God. I believe that Jesus was there in that moment saying, Martha, I know what you're going through. I know that you feel so stressed. I know that you feel so anxious. I know the problems that are plaguing your mind. But I am here in your house tonight. And if you would just come into my presence right now, Martha, all of those problems would just seem so small if you brought them towards me. Can I tell you tonight, you and I believe, have the greatest opportunity that you and I can have in our life when we know that in his presence, we can bring our problems. You see, Jesus wasn't waiting for Martha to try to get her whole act together. It wasn't like Jesus was sitting there saying, well, Martha, when you've just got your act cleaned up, when you've just got all the ducks lined up perfectly in a row, when you're not feeling anxious or when you're not feeling stressed or maybe when you're not feeling overwhelmed, then yeah, that's the time that you can come into my presence. No, Jesus was saying, I'm right here for you, Martha. I'm right here for you. I want you in my presence, but I want you to bring all of that stuff here into my presence, because in my presence, those problems, they will begin to melt away. He's saying, Martha, I want you to bring your problems into my presence. You know, the Bible says this. It says, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. How do you and I deal with fear in our life? How do you and I deal with fear? We all experience fear in our life. We all experience things in our life. Fear comes because the sense that we are not in control. We are not in control. And how many of you know that's actually true? In many areas of life, you and I, we do not have the control over the outcomes. But we serve a God who is in control. We worship a God who does sit above all heaven and earth. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. So how do you and I deal with the fear that can grip our life? Very simple. We draw near to perfect love. We draw near to his perfect love. Church, I believe in these next 7 days, if you and I begin to make a commitment in our life to seek God first, to make his presence our priority in our life, you know what will happen? We'll discover that those things that maybe have caused fear or anxiety or anguish in our heart and our life, those things will begin to disappear. Why will they begin to disappear? Because his perfect love will begin to fill our hearts. And not only will his perfect love begin to fill our hearts, but we'll discover that actually there is a power that can come and change the very answer to the problems that we are bringing before him. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. How many of you know tonight that our land needs a lot of healing? Our nation needs a lot of healing. There is a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of people in a whole bunch of different situations and circumstances in their life that's as a result of not having access to the love and the power of God in their life. God's saying this. He's saying if you live in a culture, in a time like that, where there's darkness, where there's brokenness, where there's people who are hurting, where there's all kinds of problems, he's saying, if my people, he's calling the church, that's actually a call to you and I. He's saying this, if my people would gather together and pray, if my people would simply begin to seek my face, God says he'll do two things. God's promise is if we will gather together, if we will pray, if we'll begin to seek God with a passion and with a determination in our hearts, God says he'll do two things. He says, I'll hear those prayers and I'll heal. Can I tell you tonight? God's hearing those prayers that we pray, and God's promise is that I will heal. How many of you know tonight? I believe this month right here, this month of August, I want to prophesy tonight that this month that we're ending into, the month of August, it's going to be a month of breakthrough and healing for you. Breakthrough and healing for you. I'm telling you tonight, there's going to be healing. There's going to be healing of people's bodies. There's going to be healing in people's minds and emotions. There's going to be healing of relationships that need to be restored. There's going to be healing that's going to happen in the middle of situations that we never believed could turn around. And I believe here tonight, it's also going to be a month of breakthrough for people as well. For people that have been believing God to buy a house. For people who've been believing maybe for a business or a work situation to turn around. For people who've been believing maybe here for breakthrough with the salvation of a loved one. To see a family member saved. To see a friend saved. To see a workmate or a neighbor saved. That this is a month, I'm prophesying, there's going to be a month of healing. And it's also going to be a month of breakthrough. God says, I'll hear and I'll heal. I'll heal, I'll hear and I'll forgive. And I'll heal and I'll do miracles in your life. And I believe that tonight. Every answer we seek, every miracle we cry out for is found when we seek him. Psalm 34 verse 10 says it this way. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Church, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. That deserves some praise. Come on. Why don't you give him 5 seconds of praise right now? The Bible says that in seeking God, that you will not lack any good thing as you begin to seek him. And that begins to happen when we prioritize the presence of God in our life. And I want to tell you something about the presence of God. I want to tell you about an encounter with God I had several years ago that profoundly had an impact on my life. I remember it was a Saturday afternoon, and I can't remember the reason why, but I know the rest of my family weren't at home, and so Saturday afternoon, no one was home. I decided to do something I'd very rarely get the opportunity to do, and that was have a nana nap on a Saturday afternoon. Does anyone love a nana nap? Isn't that gold when they come off? They're fantastic. I remember having this little nana nap on a Saturday afternoon, and I was in the middle of a sleep, and I knew there was no one home, but I was in the middle of this nana nap. I remember I woke up with such a startle. I'd heard my name being called. It just was so loud. I was like, Andrew, Andrew. And I woke up with a startle. Oh my. All right, Wendy and the kids, they must be home. All right, I'll get up. And I remember getting up from the bed. And I remember just walking around the house. And I'm like, hey, hey. And I realized there was no one home. I'm like, that's weird. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, and so I went back and I just sort of sat down on the edge of my bed, and I was about to sort of go back to my nana nap. And I had this moment as I was sitting, I remember directly sitting on the edge of the bed. I was like, who is that? I remember having this distinct kind of voice that was in my heart then and saying, that was me, the Lord. And I don't know how to describe this, but as I had this sense that it was God, that his voice I'd heard, there was like a presence that began to fill that room where I was, and a presence that began to fill my heart. And honestly, it was like nothing I'd ever experienced before. As I sat there on the edge of my bed, there was such a sense. It was fearful and it was awesome all at the same time, because I knew God was in that room and he was there. And I was like, I heard his voice and I said, was that you, God? And I just felt God say, yes. I was like, oh, okay. What do I do now? Like, what do you do? And I just sat there And this presence just started to fill my heart, and it was awesome. And I just said nothing. I was awestruck. I didn't want to say anything. I remember God asked me this question. Now, this was now in my heart, okay? But it was very clear to me. And God asked me this question. He says, "Were you serious?" And I was like, "What?" And then straight away, I remembered. A few hours before that morning, I had started to pray, and God took me straight back to what I'd prayed that morning. You know what I prayed that morning? I just began to cry out to God and said, "God, I want to know you. I love you, Jesus. I want nothing more, God, than your presence. God, I want nothing more than to draw near to you." And God was asking me that question. "Are you serious?" All I could whisper back was, "Yes." And straight away, I felt this incredible sense of peace. That somehow in that answer, I'd pleased the heart of God. That all I wanted was his presence. And I remember at that point, right, that I was sitting on my bed and I didn't want to leave. And it was like the presence of God was there. And I just sat. I don't know how long it was. Maybe it was 20 minutes. Maybe it was half an hour. I don't know. I just sat and I soaked in the presence of God. I don't know how many of you have been like that before, where you've just sat in that atmosphere where the presence of God is. All you wanted to do is just soak in that atmosphere. And his peace and his love just filling my heart again. And I remember just thinking to myself, I just thought, this is exactly why Jesus died for me. This is exactly why Jesus died for me. That I could have this. He didn't die so that I could have religion. He died so that I could have a relationship with the living God. That I could know his presence. That I could step through this doorway into this brand new experience called the presence of God that would fill my heart and would fill my life. And I want to tell you here tonight, that's not just for me. That's for every single one of us. God wants you and I to not just know him, but to know his presence. Mary sat down in the presence of God and every single fear melted away. Every single anxiety melted away because she spent time and she said, "God, I love your presence, and I love your presence more than anything else in this world." And I love that tonight. I love that the God we serve invites every single one of us. The Bible says it this way, that he's opened up. This is Jesus. He's opened up a living and a new way for us that we could go right into the presence of God. You say, what's that talking about? It says that God has opened up a living and new way into the presence of God. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was only one person who once a year could go right into the presence of God. It was called the high priest. One person once a year, and he had to go through all of these curtains and all of these veils to get right into this place called the Holy of Holies. And he was terrified when he got there. They used to attach like a rope with a bell to his feet in case that when he went in there, if he was unclean, that he would be struck down dead. And they would hear that bell ringing and they could just bring him out. One person once a year got that. For the Bible says that when Jesus came, that what he did for us at the cross and when he went and resurrected into heaven was that he went right into the presence of God. He was called our forerunner. And that he went right through every curtain, right through every barrier that would separate us from God's love and God's presence. And he says that now because Jesus has now risen from the grave, that he has gone right into the Father's presence. He's called our forerunner. That means this, that he's made a living way. He's made a new way that you and I could go right into the presence of God. And that's what we are setting up this week over our next 7 days as we begin to pray together. That it's not just a place where we'd come and pray, but I know this, it's a place where you and I can access and draw near to God. His word says this, if you would draw near to God, he will draw near to you. I love that. The Bible says that there was another guy by the name of Moses, and he would go into the presence of God. It was called a tabernacle. It was like a tent. And Moses would go in there. He would go right into the presence of God. And there was another guy that was there with Moses. His name was Joshua. And the Bible says this about Joshua. He said Joshua would stand there right by this tabernacle where Moses would go into the presence of God. And then it says that when Moses had finished his time in the presence of God, he left. Joshua did something fascinating. It says that Joshua just lingered around that place. You see, here's the thing about Joshua. Joshua just loved the presence of God. He just said, wherever your presence is, God, that's where I want to be. And the Bible says that Joshua, he lingered in the presence of God. He soaked in the presence of God. He got baptized in the presence of God. You know what I find fascinating is that when God went to choose a successor to Moses, you know who he chose? Joshua. I don't think that's because Joshua was because he was a standout military warrior. No, I believe this. Joshua was a standout to God because Joshua was a person who loved the presence of God. He just prioritized time in the he was addicted to the atmosphere of the presence of God. And he said, this is where my fulfillment is. This is where my hunger is. And I believe that for Christians and for churches that say exactly the same thing, that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that if you and I would be believers that would love the presence of God so that we are filled with an atmosphere from another world, I believe that we will go just like Moses would leave that tent and the Bible says that he would glow. I believe that God wants you and I to spend time in the presence of God, not just so that we are filled, but that so that when we leave that place, that we would go out into this world and we would glow. We would glow with the glory of God. We would glow with the presence of God. That when we leave that place, that what we take with us is Him. And that you and I are called to be those people, I believe, a generation that would spend that time in the presence of God, that we would carry the presence of God, and we would glow with light into the darkness. We're going to finish with this scripture. It says in James 5, verse 13, it says, is anyone among you suffering? In other words, is anyone experiencing trouble? Is anyone experiencing hardship? Is anyone experiencing sickness? The Bible says, is anyone suffering? The Bible says, let that person pray. Let that person pray. Let him pray. Listen, can I tell you, whatever you're facing today, the Bible says pray. Bring that to God. Ask Him for help. You'll not only find strength, I'm telling you, you'll find answers. You'll find God begins to speak to you the moment you begin to pray. You'll find wisdom from God begin to come into your life. You'll find strength in your heart. You'll find God beginning to get involved the very moment that you pray. You know, just this week, you know, one of our kids had some problems with their knee. And we'd been having some issues going on there. We'd been praying into that. I know my wife and I have been praying into that for a long time. God, just heal this, fix this. And part of that process is we went to see an orthopedic surgeon and doctor, and they basically said, oh, this is not looking too good, and let's operate on this thing. And but the doctor said, listen, even though I think we should operate, I want to get a second opinion. And so we left it with the doctor, and I was like, Come on, God. We need you to start getting involved here, God. I believe, God, you're going to bring healing one way or the other here through this doctor. And it was incredible. You know, a few hours later, we got a call from that doctor. The doctor, he said, I want to do surgery, and I want to do surgery pretty quickly on his knee. And the doctor came back and said, oh, this is amazing. I just so happened, I was going to get a second opinion, but it just so happened, I went to this place today, and you wouldn't believe it, but I had a meeting with the 6 top orthopedic surgeons there are. And actually, every single one of them agree right now that the best thing we should do is not have surgery, but actually what we're going to do is we're going to rest. And in that resting, we're going to believe, well, not the easiest word to believe, but we're going to see if we can see some healing going on in that particular place. And I was like, God, come on. This is the place where God begins to get involved. This is places in your life, I believe, God wants to begin to open doors for you. God wants to begin to bring healing and bring change into your world. And He'll do that through the power of prayer.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.